Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, it's time for WEEI at Night.
And I am Mark James. That's Mark with AC James. I'm the one who popularized rap music in the Western Mass suburbs in the early to mid-90s.
Phony Michelle.
I mean, they've been more relevant than Alicia Silverstone's acting career.
Chris Frail.
I've known Michael Irvin for 16, 17 years. University of Miami fam. We're good like that.
Kyrie Irving.
I'm very good friends with Steph Curry, as you know.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, shout out to Charles Manson.
Dial 617-779-7937.
Next star here at WEEI, that of course is Mark with a C, James.
Mark effing James.
Star for attention, fame-seeking loser. Ordinary Hayward.
I'm going to call him Brad Farrell.
Because he's actually John Farrell without a ring.
Be honest, it's boring. And I think one minute.
Exactly.
So your turkeys of the year,
Barbados Belichick.
Kyrie Irving.
You can take the R away. He's turning to Chris Fail.
Mark James, right now. On Sports Radio WEEI.
Rocking and rolling. Hour number two here. A WEEI late at night with yours truly, Mark James. It's Mark with a C, James. We'll get to the Patriots coming up. We were talking mostly about the Red Sox, so I want to get your phone calls on that in terms of the blame game and the reason whom is to blame the most for the Red Sox failures this season. And obviously, you could say Dombrowski, Cora, the players, all of the above. But I want to know which entity is to blame the most. 617-779-7937 to get in. Gary and Alston's up next. What's up, Gary?
Mark, thanks for taking my call. Really enjoy the topic tonight.
Thank you.
My personal point of view is that David Price gets at least 25%.
You'll get no argument with me on that one.
He's just soft, and man, if you need leadership, if Sale's going a little sideways, I mean, Erod has just stood in his head. But why couldn't David Price at some point just man up, put the X thing away, and just throw the damn ball over the plate, and let's get some wins, let's get some, you know, get something going. Now, all the other pitchers, including Sale and the other disappointing starters in the bullpen, to me, they get 25%. I'm going to tack 25% on the Dombrowski for not doing anything at the playoff deadline, the trading deadline, which is just ridiculous, in my opinion. And then I'm going to give the other 25 to Cora. And I'll tell you, Cora leaves me scratching my head because could he just decide what role these bullpen guys are supposed to be in? Stop dancing around with, is Barnes an eighth-inning guy or a ninth-inning guy? Is work, you know, he's worked Barnes and Workman to death and been afraid to use the other guys. Just try to find some roles for these cats.
Well, how about Gary? How about the other day in Cleveland in the afternoon game when he said prior to the game that Nathan Eovaldi was going to be looking at getting back to starting, and then he puts him in after Brian Johnson gets pulled after 2 2/3 innings, and Eovaldi pitched 2 innings. Like, he just seems like he's throwing crap against the wall, trying to see what sticks.
And he's got to make decisions because he is the manager. You know, they put 7 guys together for a 4-hitter, and somehow. We couldn't have done that at any other point in the season. We could have used some of those guys to get one guy out most of the season. And I'll tell you, if Alex goes, I don't know if this has been talked about much in town. I've only been back to town about a month. I really want to see Veritek.
I don't know. To me, I was more of a Torey Lovello guy. I know he's employed right now, and I'd rather, I don't know. Veritek is, yeah, I guess you... Cora's not on the hot seat now, despite what Muttnansky thinks. He's not on the hot seat yet. I do believe, though, that once they miss the playoffs, and it's just basically inevitable, which is a matter of time before they're mathematically eliminated, so give or take a few more weeks, that I think once the season ends, Cora then will be on the hot seat, because what I believe, Gary, is that Dave Dombrowski will be fired, and then the next guy they bring in, well, he didn't hire Cora. Why does he have to be loyal? You know, you want to, when you come in and you take over as GM, you want to hire the guy that that the team, you're in charge of the franchise. If you inherit somebody, that's not your guy.
Yeah, those guys all want their guy, that's for sure. You know, that September 8th game you were talking about, my personal belief is they're going to be three back for the second wild card on September 8th.
Why do you think they're going to close the gap?
They're way back into it and tease us because they've done it so many times.
Mm, yeah, I don't think that. I think they're going to be 10.5 back at that point. I do.
I guess we'll all be focused on the Pats at that point.
Oh, I know. Well, we already are. Can you imagine? By the way, if a week ago tonight, when the Angels were in town in a pivotal game in the AL wild card race, and the Patriots are in Detroit, no Brady, no Edelman, no Gronk, obviously, they outrate the Red Sox on television three times. They tripled the Red Sox in the ratings. Can you imagine what's going to be like Saturday night? Saturday night against Tennessee when Baltimore's in town? Who's going to be watching that game when the Patriots are playing in Tennessee that night? And moreover, I mentioned week one, Sunday night, September 8th, Pats hoist their sixth Super Bowl banner. Big Ben and the Steelers are in town. I mean, the Red Sox are the ESPN Sunday night national television game of the week with A-Rod and Jessica Mendoza against the Yankees. They're going to have to move that game to 1 o'clock, literally. ESPN, I know it's an ESPN call, but you're just going to have to move that game to 1 because you're not going to get anything. No one, at least at 1 o'clock, you'll draw a bigger audience because the Patriots won't play until 8:20 that night. But no one, if this Red Sox team is 8 or more games out on Sunday, September 8th, so at that point, they're pretty much, they're really done at that point. Who's going to be watching that game? Sound like an owl. Who? Bueller? Anyone? How about no one? Betty is in Oakland. Is this Oakland, California, Betty?
Of course.
Oh, welcome. Hey, what's up?
I was born and raised in Massachusetts, lived in Hawaii for many, many years, and I'm now in Oakland. But, you know, I mean, I've been, as much as I can keep up with what's going on with the Red Sox, and I watch all their games, and, you know, I've seen a lot of, you know, I've seen as much as I can with them. But I don't think Carr is acting alone on anything. I think he's getting...
Betty, your phone is cutting out. Yeah. I know you're in Oakland, but you may want to try to call in if you did on the landline. It was not good. John in a car, 617-779-7937. John, hello.
How you doing tonight?
Good.
I honestly believe the problem is the players, because the amount of money that they're paying these guys, the level of, that they're supposed to play at, you know, even though Joe, with Cora last year, he pulled all his strings, everything was right. You know, to repeat that again this year, you know, is highly unlikely to happen, which we just witnessed this year. But the players themselves, they're not performing. If it wasn't for Bogaerts and Devers, I couldn't imagine what this team would be like.
Right. I know. It's a good point. Seriously.
They're carrying that team. You know, and with Mookie Betts, just to talk about him a little, he's a, one year he's awesome, the next year he's like so-so, you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, he's the epitome of inconsistency. He's not. Mookie right now, John, is about where he's going to next. Mookie is not about this year. He got his World Series. He won his MVP. He had his Hall of Fame type year last season. He's all about that next contract. He's going to try to get $350 to $400 million, and he probably will. He's all about where he's going to next, whether that's going to be Atlanta,
yeah,
whether that's going to be Chicago Cubs and go play for Theo, wherever. He's all, and that's why this offseason, if the Red Sox make a move on Dombrowski and get rid of him, I think it's imperative that the guy they bring in, if they can't work out a deal with Mookie in the offseason, you try to trade him and try to get somebody's prize prospect who's going to be the next Vlad Guerrero Jr., Fernando Tatis Jr., one of those type players, you know, Bo Bichette, Peter Alonso, Jeff McNeil. You try, I mean, you are trading an MVP in the prime of his career. So you should be able to get a couple of those guys.
Here's the question, though. What's his stats like, Mookie, in the playoffs?
Horrible. Horrible.
Horrible.
Awful. By the way, the Red Sox, you could say this. If you go back to last year's postseason, John, the Red Sox won the World Series in spite of Mookie Betts, not because of Mookie Betts.
Exactly. That's my point. In the playoffs 2 years ago, he stunk up the joint.
Yep.
I mean, I'm telling you this. There's no player worth the money that Trout's getting, okay? Not even Trout, but they, you know, whatever you want to say. Mookie Betts, with his numbers in the playoffs, I mean, that's when you're supposed to shine, when it's crunch time, right?
Yep, yep. Sorry, I lost you there. I was paying attention to you. Here's the thing on Mookie Betts. In five separate postseasons, he has one more home run than you and me. His last two postseasons, he's batting .217, and overall, he is batting .227. That is straight up garbage. So if you're going to overpay, and fine, I don't have a problem with the Red Sox trying to keep one of the top 6 to 10 players in baseball here for the prime of his career. I don't have an issue with that. But if they can't strike a deal in the hot stove meetings, wherever they are this year, I don't know. They're in Vegas 1 year, Phoenix another. Who knows? Who cares? Nothing usually happens there anymore anyway. If they can't strike a deal by next year's Super Bowl,
it's going to be a fire sale down there.
I want Mookie gone. I'm trying to trade him, put him on the market, get the most value you can, because at least the team who's going to get him will get him for an entire season, not just for the last couple of months after the trade deadline. Yeah. I mean, it's a ballsy move, but so wasn't trading Nomar Garciaparra in 04 before the deadline. How'd that work out? Worked out really well. You know, and Nomar was never an MVP. He wasn't as good as Mookie, even though he was one of the best players in baseball. But Nomar was about Nomar, and it worked out well for them. But Mookie Betts, think about that, folks. Five postseasons, one home run. One. That is not pathetic, because I don't want to do a disservice to the word pathetic. That is beyond pathetic. So you got to be careful, real careful, with what you're doing. And remember, it'll be the next guy who comes in for Dave Dombrowski making these decisions. It won't be Dave Dombrowski, because I believe his power will be completely eviscerated from him once this season is over, which will be after the final regular season game of the year. 617-779-7937. And if I had to describe a certain word on why this team has not succeeded and why they are failing and will miss the playoffs, I think this goes across the board: hubris. Hubris. Because it seemed like the Red Sox, that starting from Dombrowski to Cora and all the players, had this egregious sense of entitlement where they were just going to roll out of bed this year and they were going to win 98 games, 96 games, whatever. And they were that damn good. And you know what? Yeah, I could see them after winning 108 last year and going all out. But they don't have the desire. They don't have the will to win that they did a year ago. Something is amiss. Now, you can put that on Cora, but hubris. They just sort of felt like they were entitled. to getting back in the postseason. And once we get into the tournament, I mean, listen, who do we have to fight? I mean, face the Oakland A's, the Tampa Bay Rays. I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, those teams have a fraction of the payrolls that we do. Well, guess what happened? Those teams right now are on the, well, except for the A's, but the Rays are on the inside looking out with a $63 million payroll, and the Red Sox are on the outside looking in with a $241 million payroll. Okay? I mean, just think about that. When you look at this entire season, Oakland A's this year, well, they had a $93 million payroll. $93 million. The Red Sox spend $90 million on their starting rotation alone. Tampa Bay Rays, I mentioned before, it bears repeating. Let me reiterate, $63 million a season this year for their entire payroll, including the reigning Cy Young Award winner, Blake Snell. Can you name it? I mean, they don't have those guys that you all saw, and those guys like Evan Longoria, BJ Upton, Carl Crawford, they're all gone. Dickerson, Morrison, they're gone, long gone. Archer is in Pittsburgh. It doesn't matter. They are making chicken salad out of chicken crap. And they're outsmarted not only the Red Sox, but all of Major League Baseball yet again. This is what they do. Nancy in Warwick is up next.
My God.
Go ahead, Nancy. Oh, my God, what?
Would you be saying this last year when these guys had a terrific, terrific year?
What are you, Al? Are you Alex Cora's sister or mother? Because you sound like them saying last year.
Say that again.
Are you Alex Cora's sister or mother? Because you sound like them saying last year, Nancy.
Listen, hey, I'm not protecting Alex Cora. I think he's getting old. He's getting old with this, you know. Is he a player's coach? I don't know. I don't get it. He's sickening right now.
Well, and here's the thing. The bloom is off that rose. The honeymoon's over, Nancy.
Absolutely. But, you know, don't blame it on Mookie. For crying out loud, Mookie was an MVP last year.
But, Nancy, you keep going back to last year. He's not an MVP this year.
No, he's not. But who is now? You tell me.
Rafael Devers.
Oh, absolutely. Devers is fun. He's fun to watch.
So Bogaerts is having a great year,
JBJ,
too, Nancy.
JBJ, you got to get rid of JBJ. I'm sorry. He's a great outfielder, but he can't hit. You got to get somebody better than JBJ. And I love the Red Sox.
So who do you blame the most for the team's failures this year, Nancy?
Alex Cora.
Why Cora?
Alex Cora. And of course, you know, they didn't, you know, at trade line deadline there, the trade deadline, Dombrowski, he did nothing. What was that? What was that message to the clubhouse?
I think that was John
Henry. You're going to have to play better.
Yeah,
you got to play better.
Yeah, I think that was John Henry saying, you're not spending any more of my money. That's it. That's what I think that was.
I've got season tickets. You know, I don't even go anymore. I don't want to spend any more money on this team.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I, by the way, parking ain't cheap out there either, right, Nancy?
Oh, my God, $50.
$50 for a regular season game.
Give me a break.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. I got a friend.
Hey, listen, it's good to listen to you. You know, I'm sitting in my car listening to you.
Oh, well, Nancy, I appreciate that. You're one of my favorite callers now, so call back anytime.
Well, thank you.
Well, I'll be on tomorrow night after the Red Sox game against Baltimore, so I'll be back on this same time.
All right, I'll be here. I'm telling you, I love it. I listen to it all the time, guy.
All right. My name's Mark.
Thank you.
Mark James. Mark with a C, James, so thank you.
Mark, okay.
All right, Nancy.
Nice talking to you, guy.
Yeah, thank you. Nice talking to you, guy. I like it. It's funny, I went right to her. And before, it said, go to Nancy, West Warwick. She goes, my God. And I'm like, oh, you could tell she was talking. She was all fired up. It is, I'm not going to lie to you. I will take the bus down to Fenway from Watertown to go, or if I'll get a parking pass from Joe Zarbano, there's no way in hell, or no chance in hell, to quote Vince McMahon, I would ever spend $50 on parking for a regular season baseball game.
Get the duck boats ready!
Never, never. That is the biggest ripoff in the world. Matter of fact, I'll tell you a funny story. This is about 6 years ago. Got some free tickets, box seats, great seats. So it was me, my dad, and my friend, and I had an extra ticket. We didn't end up using it. So we parked my car right near BU at a one of those the thing that you put the quarters in. The meter, right? But it only took quarters, and you couldn't renew, you know, like with your credit card or anything like that. So I went when I knew it was going to expire. I used the extra ticket. So I left Fenway Park, walked all the way back to the car, which was like a mile walk to the car. And I put more quarters in my car just so I didn't get stuck with getting hit for half a hundy on parking. I know it was cheap and I know it was frugal, but it worked. And I got back in the park with the extra ticket. I mean, $50 for a game for 81 games a year? Are you kidding me?
It's almost as bad as the concessions.
Oh, it is unbelievable. It is ridiculous. All right, we'll take more phone calls on this. You want to join in? Tom Curran wrote an article, and he actually came on with Mutt tonight and talked about whom he thinks could be the heir apparent to the hoodie, Bill Belichick in Foxborough, and it's not who you think it is. We'll get to that next in your phone call, 617-779-7937. But first, it's time for trending.
The only station in Boston where you'll hear exclusive interviews with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Red Sox were actually off tonight. Seems like they play 85 games a week, but not tonight. They will be back tomorrow to open up a three-game series against the worst team in baseball, the Baltimore Orioles. Rick Porcello will be on the mound against Aaron Brooks. Patriots joint practice had a little scuffle today between Stephon Gilmore and Titans rookie wideout A.J. Brown. Tom Curran also noted that cornerback Devin McCourty was involved in the scrap. These two are going to face off Saturday night at 7 o'clock for the Pats' second preseason game. And bad news for Lakers All-Star Boogie, DeMarcus Cousins. Boogie is reported to be out after tearing his ACL during a workout today and will be out for the upcoming season. You just hate to see it. You know, for the Lakers, you just hate to see it. Oh, boy. Sorry, LeBron. Sorry, Anthony Davis. Just hate to see it. That's what's trending now on WEI and WEEI.com.
And I think that the next head coach is a defensive coach, and I think he is actually in the building right now, and I think it's going to be Gerard Mayo. When you look at all the things that Mayo brings to the table, the fact that he will coach under Belichick as opposed to what Vrabel did, his business acumen, his time that he spent in the professional business world with Optum, the things that he knows, he's an incredibly charismatic person. Not to say Mike Vrabel isn't those things, not to say Mike Vrabel wouldn't be a good candidate, but I really have a feeling that when it's all said and done, if Gerard Mayo wants to coach the New England Patriots after Bill Belichick, that might be something that the press would like to see happen.
Now I know we are still 3 weeks away from the start of the NFL season, and it's getting close, but not close enough, unfortunately. And I know that sometimes we say things to drum up interest, to move the needle. And Tom Curran from NBC Sports Boston, that's what he said. But remember, Josh McDaniels was offered the head coaching job of the Indianapolis Colts. He went down to Indianapolis. He started to pick out his staff. Some of them have already moved to Indianapolis or made the arrangements to move there before he changed his mind and came back to New England. Now, the prevailing school of thought is that Josh McDaniels came back because they told him he would be the ever so popular, quote, coach in waiting. Which I believe that there is sort of this unspoken or perhaps private agreement when Bill steps away, whether it's after this year, next year, 2028, 2038, whenever he wants to, that Josh McDaniels will be the guy. Now, you heard that bite there from Tom Curran. So he came on tonight with Mutt on Mutt at Night. And remember that he said that he thinks it could be Gerard Mayo, who, if I'm not mistaken, has zero coaching experience right now. Zero? And I mean, I don't even mean head coaching. I mean any coaching. I think it's zero. So regardless, here's what Tom Curran had to say tonight on Mutt at Night.
So the Vrabel presence is what sparked it. And Gary Tangway wanted to talk about Mike Vrabel as possibly the next Patriots coach. And I just have said ever since watching Mayo and the fast track he appears to be on that it wouldn't surprise me in the least if he became the next Patriots head coach. I didn't just walk out with like, hey, let me paint this Gerard Mayo for head coach sign. It just said, do you think Mike Vrabel will be the head coach? And I said, I would probably put my money on Gerard Mayo. And there's a variety of reasons for that.
So he wasn't as, let's just say, surefire in his conviction as he was the first time. Let's hear the first one again, Joe.
Reasons for that.
Back it up. No. I want to hear the first one on NBC Sports Boston.
And I think that the next head coach is a defensive coach, and I think he is actually in the building right now, and I think it's going to be Gerard Mayo. When you look at all the things that Mayo brings to the table.
All right, stop. He just said it's going to be Gerard Mayo, and then he backtracks. Like when you're, you know, when the truck's backing up, he backtracks. Listen, although Gerard Mayo, I'm sure, has had amazing OTAs and mandatory mini camp and a training camp, dude hasn't coached a game yet. Now, when Brian Flores got the job with the Dolphins, he'd been here like over 16 years and had learned from Bill Belichick, studied the system under Romeo Crennel, then Dean Pease, then Matt Patricia. And I'm not taking anything away from Gerard Mayo. I like the guy. I think the guy could be great. But, like, I think Tom Curran is pushing his buddy, who he used to do that show with on NBC Sports Boston, Quick Slants, a little too much there. I think Josh McDaniels will be the next coach of the New England Patriots whenever Belichick steps aside. It's going to be McDaniels. Now, yes, the Crafts could change their mind, but to say that Gerard Mayo will be the next head coach of the New England Patriots and he has zero coaching experience. Zero. I mean, Josh McDaniels, like Bill Belichick, not only has been a coordinator a bunch of times, he's a failed head coach like Belichick in Cleveland. So you learn from your mistakes and your failures, at least you're supposed to. And I think Josh McDaniels, trading back into the first round, drafting a guy who couldn't throw further than 12 yards and couldn't hit a spot if he held a gun to his head in Tim Tebow out of Florida, I think he's probably learned from his mistakes. But Gerard Mayo as the next Patriot coach? Fast track. Dude, like, are you kidding me? Like, let the guy pay some dues as a coach first before you talking about the next head coach, bro. My God. And remember, he worked with them at NBC Sports Boston for years. They look like they're pretty good friends. They had great chemistry on the air. I'm sure they're great friends off the air. So I get it. He's your buddy. My buddy, I get it. That's your buddy. But don't sit here and tell me that Gerard Mayo is going to be the next coach of the New England Patriots when he hasn't even been an assistant yet in a meaningful regular season game. I mean, give me an effing break. 617-779-7937. 3-7. I mean, that's fast track. That's fast crack. If what you're talking about, him being on a fast track, like, that's, wow. That makes John Gruden and Sean McVay look like they're Marv Levy. I mean, if you're going to, like, whoa, hold on, you know, let's pump the brakes a little bit on that one. Yeah, I think McDaniels will be the guy for the Patriots. I do. Now, I don't foresee Bill stepping aside anytime soon. And I see Bill wanting to outlast Tom Brady. And that's the thing, you know, and there's a part of me that with the negotiation between Brady, someone just texted in, what about Wiggy? Oh, boy, Jesus. Oh, no. The team doesn't need any more cheerleaders. They've got enough. Yeah, no. I wouldn't trust Wiggy with a Pop Warner football team here locally, let alone having an assistant coaching job on the Patriots. Although he might not be so bad, but he's too much of a cheerleader. Way too much of a cheerleader. But then again, he has as much coaching experience as Gerard Mayo does. So there's that. Why can't he be a tight ends coach? You know? I mean, why not? So let's just pump the brakes on Gerard Mayo, shall we? Let's just not make this guy out to be the next Bill Walsh or Bill Parcells just yet. Let's let him actually call a game from a defensive standpoint before we start bronzing his dome in Canton, Ohio. 617-779-7937. My biggest concern for the Patriots this season, I'm going to get to that next. And what worries me on this team, if you look at it, it sets up very nicely with the injury to Andrew Luck and the Colts, and don't know how much that's going to play and hurt the Colts' chances, who are one of the up-and-coming teams that were to contend in the AFC along with the Patriots. But my biggest concern with the Patriots, I want to get yours as well. I'm going to give you that next. 617-779-7937, plus the Red Sox. The things that you want to talk about the bullpen, about this team's failures this season, and why this season is on a downward spiral from hell. Mark James on WEI. All right, Mark, with AC James here with you till 1 o'clock, taking your phone calls at 617-779-7937. There's some concerns, a lot of concerns for me about the Patriots this season. Obviously, the receivers, who's going to take the place of Gronk, answer nobody, how they're going to account for that. It's not even the fact of his production, because his production has dropped off over the course of the last couple seasons. The fact that just his presence as a decoy, the defenses would have to double team him. And that is gone now. Defense don't have to worry about 87 on the field anymore. But I'm going to tell you something right now. And every single Patriots fan, you should be extremely worried about this. If you watch the preseason game tonight with the Raiders and Cardinals, and you saw Trent Brown wearing silver and black, now playing for the Raiders, that guy's not protecting Tom Brady's blind side anymore. And you're putting it in the hands of a rookie who hasn't played a meaningful snap in the NFL yet.
And it was a guard drafted.
He was a guard out of Georgia. He has short arms like a Tyrannosaurus Rex. And now you're expecting him as a rookie to protect Tom Brady's blind side. I'm telling you, you're going to be cursing Isaiah Wynn when this season starts, because this is going to be a unmitigated disaster. Okay? Just wait and see, I'm telling you. Now, I'm not saying the kid can eventually get it, but that to me, and I want your concerns and things that worry the most about the Patriots going into this season, to me, it's left tackle. who has the second most important position on the field protecting the GOAT blindside? 617-779-7937. Also, if you want to chime in about Tom Curran's comments, where he's basically his agent, the agent for Gerard Mayo, saying he's going to be the next head coach of the Patriots. Aaron in Coventry, Rhode Island, is up next. What's up, Aaron?
Hey, I just wanted to talk about Gerard. I totally agree with what you're talking about with Tom Curran and Quick Slants. You're right. He is his friend, but he's got more insight with the Patriots than anybody else. And Gerard has been the defensive captain for our team for a long time. So he's a defensive player, and he knows the plays.
But he has never called a defensive game plan yet.
That is true. That is true. But he also, you know, Bill Belichick's not going to give him, like, hey, you're the defensive coordinator. Because every time we give a title to a coach, right, what happens?
Well, he did give it to Patricia, though.
Yeah, and then he got taken by the Lions.
Right.
You know, it happens every time. So he needs, you're right, he needs some time to learn to be a coach. But I believe that he's going to be a great coach.
And Aaron, I hope he is. And he could be. And I'm not disputing that. I just, when you say that he's in the building, he's on a fast track. I mean, like, look at the resumes of Josh McDaniels coaching versus Gerard Mayo. And it's like, I mean, comparing someone who graduated magna cum laude from Princeton to somebody who failed out of Springfield Technical Community College. I mean, come on.
You're right, but Josh McDaniels is a great offensive coordinator, but he's not a great head coach. Like,
hold on. Was Bill Belichick a great head coach in Cleveland? No.
No, but he did very well in Cleveland, and nobody else has. He might have not won a Super Bowl, but he did better than any other coach that's been there. And you can't dispute that.
Marty Schottenheimer was better than Belichick in Cleveland. They went to the AFC Championship game 2 years in a row, so... I mean, Marty Schottenheim was really good in Cleveland. They just couldn't win it. But, yeah, I mean, Belichick, you know, obviously there were other things in play there that, you know, the whole ownership was trying to move the team to Baltimore and this, that, and the other. And, you know, I just, like, I get it. I mean, you connect the dots and you look at who would be next. You know, who would be
the... I just think that Gerard has the capability of being a great head coach.
He may not be. You know what, Aaron?
I don't,
but at the same time, if someone texted in the text line, he has as much coaching experience as Wiggy. I mean, Wiggy could be a tight ends coach. Wiggy knows a thing or two about...
He might be a good coach, though. You never know.
No, that's like, what I'm saying. Well, what I'm saying is that for a guy who has as... For a guy who has as much coaching experience as Wiggy, I'm not going to say he's going to be the heir apparent to taking over for the greatest coach of all time.
You don't know if this guy's going to be a good left tackle. You don't know that. I understand about his arms, but they wouldn't have drafted him first overall in the first round if he wasn't.
Well, he wasn't first overall. He was like 23rd, but yes.
First Patriots overall pick. I think.
Yeah, but they didn't draft him to play left tackle, Aaron. They drafted him to play left guard.
That's true.
But I mean, this is going to be baptism by fire. Listen, I know he went against a lot of great guys when he played at Georgia, playing Alabama in the SEC championship game and playing Auburn and Florida. And this is a different world, man. You know, you're now like, you know, those rednecks in Jortsville, a.k.a. Gainesville, they're not going to critique you the way they will up here in New England. You are now the second most important position on the field, and you have to protect Tom Brady. So just remember that, okay? Just remember that. When, you know, somebody's rushing in and on Brady's blind side and looking to take him out, you know, you're going to have to be the one that's going to stop that person. And you're doing this as a rookie. I mean, I'm just surprised that this isn't a bigger storyline in Patriots training camp. This seems to be some sort of assumption that this kid who's never played a meaningful snap in his professional career is going to be able to protect for Tom Brady. Let's see. I have more faith in Gerard Mayo calling plays as the de facto defensive coordinator than I do Isaiah Wynn blocking Tom Brady's blindside. 617-779-7937. Tim in Portland, Maine's up next. Hey, what's up, Tim?
Hey, man. Love the show. How you doing?
Good, Tim. How are you? Thanks for staying up late with me, bro. I appreciate it. I like you night owls. You crazy you crazy mother bleepers.
Hey, man. I got total faith in Dante Scarnecchia, man. He is not going to let someone go out there and beat up on Brady. We got this. Like, he there's no one better than Dante, man.
I agree. I don't disagree with. The thing is, Scar can't go out there and do it himself. He can teach Isaiah Wynn all the plays, but he can't go out there and execute. I mean, you're putting a lot on a rookie who missed his first season, but he's still a rookie because he has zero playing experience in a real game.
Good fact, man. I agree with you, but I just think the Patriots are so prepared. I think we're going to be all right, man. I really do.
What concerns you the most about this season? The loss of Gronk? Obviously, you're not concerned about the left tackle position, which I believe a lot of people are overlooking. But what concerns you the most about this season?
Loss of Gronk's going to be tough, but you know what? We had such a weak receiving core last year, like one of the toughest offenses in Tom Brady's career, and we still won the Super Bowl. So I just think the Patriots just find a way, man. It just every year it's the same story.
Normally, and I don't like this, Tim, because you're using the Alex Cora last year theme, but you know what? It still applies for the Patriots. It works. You're right. You can, with the Patriots, you can, as much as Belichick doesn't like to talk about last year, you could come up and say last year, and you're right. And the success they had last year, do I feel better about their receivers this year? Not really, because after Edelman, there's such a drop off. But, you know, let's see what N'Keal Harry can do. Let's see what, you know, maybe a guy like undrafted free agent like Jacoby Myers can do. Let's see if Braxton Berrios can make the team. And if he does, it'll be as a returner and backup Edelman. And, you know, so somehow, and who knows what's going to happen about the Josh Gordon situation. I don't know what's taking the NFL so long to rule on Josh Gordon. I don't know what the deal is on that.
It's the New England Patriots.
Very strange, man. I agree. But, yeah, anxious to see how it goes this year.
All right, Tim, thanks for the phone call. I'm telling you guys, you're going to see. And I know, listen, what this is, a text line, Mark and Bill, we trust. Personally, I think Wynn is going to be cut, I think. No. They, you know, Belichick won't cut Wynn. He's a first-round pick. He hasn't played a game yet. He won't cut Duke Dawson. He's a second-round pick. He hasn't played a game yet. So that won't happen. But you can't cut him because then you're talking about Dan Skipper. Dan effing Skipper is going to be the guy that's going to be protecting Tom Brady's blind side. You talk about people, all of New England needing an endless subscription to Ambien. If Dan Skipper's the left tackle protecting Tom Brady, oh boy, good Lord. All right, everything's on the table. Next hour, final hour, you night owls, you crazies out there, 617-779-7937, hit me up. Red Sox blame game. Who do you blame? I want to get into some other things as well. But also, your biggest concern for the Patriots going into the regular season. When you look at this team, for me, it's the left tackle position. I don't think it's getting enough scrutiny or coverage as it should. What do you think? 617-779-7937. And oh, by the way, the Red Sox, you can call them the Dead Sox because their season is over. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, oh, oh.